10 minutes past 7 o'clock. 720 WGN, Phil Menicki in for John Records Landecker tonight. And we've got a packed show tonight. We're going to talk Chicago Blackhawks hockey. We're going to talk to the premier music photographer in Chicago. We're also going to talk to the lead singer of one of the biggest bands of the 70s and 80s. Man, a lot of ground to cover. We get started with the guy that you think of every single New Year's Eve here in Chicago. He is by far the coolest sports anchor in town. There's no question about that. He's Mark Giangreco. Mark, thanks for joining us here at WGN. How you doing? Where are you, Mark?
You know?
There he is. How are you?
How you doing, man? You got me?
I got you. We're good. We're good.
I thought you were going to talk about my 70s band.
What band was that?
Siberian Lifeguards.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, kidding. My son actually had five different bands with some very cool names. Siberian Lifeguards, Zen of Pooh, Whamology, and my favorite, Tony Little and the Gazelles. You remember Tony Little, the stocky guy with the ponytail on the QVC network selling his workout thing that was called the Gazelle?
Yes.
You can do it. Well, they had one of those on stage, and they would have audience members jump up and ride it while they played. So that was pretty cool. Anyway, we're drifting already.
That's fantastic. Love that. Coolest sports anchor in Chicago. That's how I introduced you. I don't think you'll remember this. Years ago, we did a car show together. It was in the south parking lot at Soldier Field.
Absolutely.
Okay. And
the Chicago Cruise.
Yes, exactly. And the weather was kind of iffy. You were there with Ron Majors. He was just hanging out. And I asked him, you were there as well. I asked you guys, I said, so, you know, what does Jerry Taft have to say about the weather today? Ron looked around and said, you know how Jerry gets his forecast, don't you? He just sits around with a bunch of people and he makes stuff up.
Exactly. Well, he plays golf. He played a lot of golf. So
we miss Jerry. Oh, we miss
him. I miss him a lot, man. I tell you, we laughed till we cried, and now we just kind of cry a little bit. I mean, my goal in life was to make him laugh and lose it every time he did a cast. And, you know, succeeded most of the times, because once you got him going, it was all over. And in his last day, I dressed in a chroma key bodysuit and went on the air with just my head was showing on the map. And but, you know, we go back to the Channel 5 days together. And I remember my first day at Channel 5, 1982, I'm scared to death. I come into the merchandise mart and I come upstairs and the first guy I meet in studio as I'm getting the tour is Jerry, who would subsequently leave shortly after I got there to go to Channel 7. And then, of course, I would join him 12 years later. But he's the first guy I meet. And this is 1982, and he comes up to me and goes, hey, you know the new sports guy? I go, yeah. He goes, hey, I'm the weather guy. I make $138,000 a year, just so you know, so they don't screw you over.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So many great stories with Jerry. July 23rd is when he passed, and he had retired before that. Now, you know, I'm sure you know the answer to this question. Somebody said, I don't know if this is rumor or whatever, but he was like an Uber driver down in Florida after he retired.
He was.
He was.
He just had nothing to do. He was playing golf, and he said, you know what, I'm going to drive. Just have a little extra cash. And he said, I loved going to the airport of Fort Myers and freaking everybody out, getting off all the Chicago flights. They get in the car, and they're like, oh, my God, you look just like Jerry Taft. And he loved that. He had a van that he parked at the airport all the time before he was an Uber driver, and he would just fly to Florida every weekend, just jump in his van, go to his house, play golf, and then jump in his van Sunday night and jump on an overnighter and be back on the air on Monday. He did that every weekend for years.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, the guy was a fighter pilot in Vietnam. Right. I mean, he rode motorcycles to work. He had this big Harley. He would always have a golf shirt on or shorts or a t-shirt and jeans. And he kept all his shirts and ties and suits in lockers at the station so he could write them off, claiming that he never wore them except when he was on the air. And he stuck to that. He would get undressed after every weather cast, hang his stuff up, and he'd be in shorts and a shirt in his office. And then he'd get dressed again to do the late news.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he lived with the band Chicago. He played golf with some of the most famous people in the world. I know, who was it, Jerry Kelly, who was on the PGA Tour. He was playing in an event here. He's from Milwaukee. He was kind of a salty, surly guy. And it was a pro-am, and he was assigned with, you know, three other people who donated money and so forth. And Jerry was one of them. And Jerry beat him.
Really?
And Jerry Kelly got all bent out of shape, making excuses. Hey, I didn't have my clubs. And all during the round, people are going, yeah, you got beat by the weatherman. And he kept asking his people, who's the weatherman? Did he get that nickname because he hits the ball high in the air, he makes it rain or whatever? And they go, no, he's actually a local TV weatherman.
Oh, man.
But Jerry was he was a great athlete, super smart guy. You know, he was always fooling around, but a true Renaissance man.
Absolutely. I want to follow up with a question. I want more information about something you mentioned with Jerry. We're going to do that after this quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Mark Giangreco here at 720 WGN.
When the bells all ring and the horns all blow, and the couples we know are fondly kissing, will I be with you, or will I be among the missing?
Ah, the great Ella Fitzgerald. 720 WGN. It's, what time is it? I don't even know what time it is. 7:19, Phil Minickian for John Records Landecker. We're talking with Mark Giangreco. We're going to talk about New Year's Eve in just a second or two. You mentioned that Jerry Taft lived with the band Chicago?
Yeah, he did. And the band's handlers and a couple other guys, guy that owns Superdog.
Yeah.
Not Superdog, Demon Dogs.
Oh,
Demon
yeah, okay.
Dogs.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, he's had such a crazy, crazy life. And he never would, you know, boast about it or never brag about anything. It would just come up in, like, offhanded conversation. Oh, yeah, I know him. I lived with him for a couple of years. Oh, yeah, I played golf with him. You know, Frank Sinatra, oh, yeah, I dropped him off one day. You know, it was just, like, ridiculous. By the way, you mentioned John Records Landecker.
Yes.
You know, more sportscasters, their heroes are athletes or whatever. My three heroes growing up, John Records Landecker, Larry Lujack, and Dick Biondi.
Nice.
Oh my goodness. That's all I ever wanted to be was a top 40 DJ. I just kind of fell into TV and radio, but I just doing news and sports. But
well, it worked
those
out.
Those are my guys, and all the other big name DJs in all the major markets in Detroit. CKLW was the greatest rock station in the history of the world, and you know that's where I was. So maybe I'll fall back into that if I can.
Hey, you never know, right? You never know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So New Year's Eve. You and Janet Davies, how long have you been doing this?
I think the show is almost 30 years old, and I think I've been doing it maybe 25 or so. Because
wow.
I know James Ward, remember him?
Yeah.
Chow Chow for Now, the restaurant food critic.
Right, right.
He was hammered all the time. He'd come in Friday night just so drunk he couldn't even get in the chair. And, you know, he's had his hairpiece would be on sideways. But so for New Year's Eve one year, he is so buzzed, and he and Janet were sitting on bar stools, and they opened the show and he fell off the bar stool.
No.
That was it. You never saw him the rest of the show. Janet did it solo, and from then on it was like, hey, you feel like doing the New Year's Eve show? Because we just don't think James is up to it.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, so I was a fill-in like 25 years ago, and it continues on. But I'm excited about this year. I'm assuming we're going to have probably the biggest audience we've ever had, and we have monster audiences every year, which we really appreciate. But obviously, because 99% of people are going to be home with their immediate families, I hope you'll tune in because we've really gone out of our way to make it fun. We've got a virtual lounge that we created, a virtual audience. We have Terrell Brown and Cheryl Scott live on the observation deck of the new NEMA building doing another crazy dance number.
Okay.
Got Ryan Cheverini doing his two-minute warning with celebrities, and Jose Sanders and Liz Nagy doing some pieces I think you'll be interested in. Val Warner as well. So it's the usual crew, but we've got a lot of surprises for you.
That's cool. Now, there aren't, obviously, there's not going to be any parties where you guys have normally been with guests and everything. So it's all going to be virtual, right? It's got to be.
Right. We have singers, bands, everything pre-produced on tape. We have, retro pieces, fireworks from a couple of years ago and so forth. So I think it'll feel like a regular New Year's Eve, but with some twists and turns. Obviously, everybody's waiting for the big New Year's Eve kiss.
Right. Talk to me about that.
Well, all I can say is it's going to be a very hot, steamy, passionate, socially distant, sanitized smooch.
Wait a minute. That doesn't go together.
How can you have both?
All right. Well, we got to find out, right?
We got a couple of things planned. I wanted to do full body condoms, like Naked Gun, but management didn't go for that.
They didn't like that?
Nah. I need my own late night show on cable somewhere. Get away with it.
It definitely could get away with it.
Yeah, but it's on at 11:25 this year. It's going to be a shorter show.
Okay.
And we're coming right out of Rockin' New Year's Eve on ABC.
Right.
So you got to tune in. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to do it. And as I mentioned in the beginning, it's just a staple of New Year's Eve here in Chicago. There's no question about it. You guys do such a great job and you have so much fun. And it's so cool that you've got the whole crew at, different places again this year.
Well, I really appreciate it. And, I know some people are laughing at us, but most are laughing with us.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Who cares? You're just going to be stupid for 45 minutes.
You do that well.
A lot like some of my sportscasts.
So we were talking about the old days. Channel 5, you started at Channel 5. People still call it Channel 5, right? Am I showing my age?
Yeah. Us old folks, we call it Channel 5 instead of NBC 5, ABC 7, CBS 2, whatever. That's the new thing.
It's Channel 5. So you started there in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there. We're talking with Mark Giangreco, if you haven't caught on yet, ABC 7, sportscaster. You started there in 82. How long were you at Channel 5?
I was there for 12 years, and then in 94, I jumped over to the big blowtorch here.
There you go. You've been there since.
Yeah. And then Ron Majors came back over, and like I said, Jerry was here waiting for me, and Linda Yu was here. I started with her at Channel 5. So, NBC was kind of AAA, and then we all moved up to the majors. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You never burn a bridge.
We're lucky to have a lot of quality television stations in this market.
There you go. So you've worked with a lot of people. Who are some of the coolest that you've worked with over the years?
Well, Ron and I are still best buds to this day, along with Carol Marine, and I was talking to Ron the other day, and it was like an SNL skit of two old guys who can't remember anything anymore. So we're going, remember Bill, what's his name? I can't remember his last name. And then he was dating Kathy so-and-so, and she was friends with Cheryl, whatever, and we just started laughing about, the guy who does the thing that we, and it was such, he calls me back 5 minutes later, and Carol is conferenced in. And she's like, rattles off all three names. Like, anything else I can do for your idiots? But it was great to have that conversation with my great buds.
And Ron is enjoying retirement?
He is. He makes occasional appearances on Windy City Live still. But, yeah, he is really enjoying retirement. And, he's done it right. He's done it right. And Carol has finally given up 12 of her jobs. And she's concentrating on, heading this new department at DePaul, investigative journalism, and she and her producer, Don Mosley, are doing a great job over there.
That's cool.
Yeah, of course, it's all virtual now, and they're hoping to get people back in the classroom, within 6 months or so. But, yeah, it's been so tough for everybody. This has just been, obviously, a horrifying year, and whenever you hear of anybody passing, it hurts even more. Everything is amplified, everything's distorted, and so we hope to just wipe that out New Year's Eve. We don't want to get too heavy with anything and just party into 2021 that has to be 100 times better.
That's a great idea. We lost Don Wells today. That was sad.
Yeah, I know. And there was always the Ginger Marianne controversy, Which side were you on there?
Where do you stand on that?
Well, everybody went Marianne just to be contrary, because Ginger was so glamorous. Marianne was, cute.
Right.
But I remember at Wrigley many, many years ago, Dawn Wells sang the anthem And my buddy Bob Vorwald, who's executive producer over at WGN, one of my great friends, we worked together at Five, he relayed this story to me. Dawn Wells was singing the anthem, I believe, or making an appearance, and Wayne Messmer introduced her as, from Gilligan's Island, Ginger Dawn Wells.
No.
And she was very gracious about it, I guess, but they never let him forget that.
Yeah, I was always a Marianne believer because I knew I could never get any woman as glorious as Ginger. That was my
sense. Just like it was also, you know, Lonnie or Bailey, Lonnie Anderson, or right. The actress played Bailey on WKRP.
That's a great analogy. It's the same deal.
You know, which I love WKRP in Cincinnati because I was in radio in Dayton, Ohio. I was the news guy, sports guy, and my roommate was the midday DJ. And we loved WKRP because it's like finally a show about our stuff and what we do.
Right,
and while technically it wasn't right on, it was pretty close portraying all the bizarre characters.
Sure, absolutely.
And, you know, the classic episode was Thanksgiving.
Oh, absolutely.
Where Gordon Jump, the general manager,
as God is my witness.
Yeah, I swear, turkeys could fly. All the humanity.
That's just classic. Before
Les Nessman's office, you know, it's just a cubicle with a line, that's where I'm sitting right now. That's what I have, a Les Nessman office.
There you go. Before I let you go, we got to talk Bears-Packers. Sunday, big game for the Bears. Do we have a chance?
I'm going to say at the outset it's going to be close, and then I just think Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and that precision offense is just going to carve them up. I mean, look, you can hate the Packers, but you have to admire and respect just watching the precision of that offense and watching how great Aaron Rodgers still is, even better than he has been in the past couple of years. Look, for true, real diehard fans that want to see a change, that really want to look to the future, these three wins that they got and now the showdown with the Packers is the worst possible thing that could have happened.
Right.
Because now you got to assume Ryan Pace is safe, Matt Nagy's safe, Mitch might even get a new deal, even if it's just a 1 year for less than $10 million or something, and people don't want to hear that. I think everybody was rooting for Mitch, but after 4 years, enough is enough. You know what you have there. It was a mistake trading up for him.
Yep.
Nicest guy in the world. In fact, the media today voted him, you know, the nice guy award, the beat writers.
Really?
But, you know, he's not a premier top 10, not even top 15 starting quarterback who's going to be able to go through his progressions, read defenses, check down. You know, the only way he's going to succeed is with his legs, his athleticism. You roll him out, play action, RPO, everything else. But it took 4 years to get to this point.
Right, right.
And, you know, I'm sure Ryan Pace, you know, he's one of the young guns at the time and wanted to make his mark by, you know, doing what Jerry Krause did. He discovered Scottie Pippen. Well, every GM wants to discover some guy you don't expect to go number one on your board, and, you know, he turns out to be a star and you're a hero. And Matt Nagy, once again, when he came in, it was so refreshing because John Fox wouldn't give you anything.
Right.
And he was a real old-school defensive guy, and, you know, Nagy came in and he was very open with the media, and you saw him as being a real creative, energetic guy. When I think, you know, what screwed Matt up was he was calling plays for the players he wanted, not the players he had.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
And, you know, he couldn't help himself. It's like, you know, if David Montgomery's going to bust a run, then, you know, on second down, they're going to give it to Cordarrelle Patterson. Stop that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's going to call a pass play in the red zone when you should just keep running it. You know, he just couldn't help himself. But, you know, kudos to him to turn the play calling over to Bill Lazor. And, you know, it's basic stuff that they're back to, but it's working. But, again, if you wanted a big change, you know, the McCaskies aren't going to do anything. They're never going to sell the team. The whole family lives off that franchise. You know, George McCaskey, you know, he and Virginia, they talk about how angry they were, you know, when things weren't going well. But still, at the end of the day, I just really don't think anything's going to happen. I don't think any changes are going to be made. And if they had lost four straight at the end of the year, you knew at least there was going to be a shakeup. Now, it'll probably be status quo. Also, to their credit, I mean, I totally understand. A pandemic year, most teams in most leagues and most sports are just writing this off, and they'll start over again next year.
Yeah.
Like this didn't count because money is a major issue.
Yeah.
You know?
Telling it like it is, Mark Giangreco. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. We'll check you out on New Year's Eve. That's on Channel 7, right?
I think it is, yeah.
Mark Giangreco, everybody.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on all the channels. But I appreciate it, Phil. Thanks for the time, and Happy New Year. We'll see you then.
Happy New Year. Let's make 2021 much better for everyone, right?
Please, please. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And, hey, shout out to John Records Landecker.
There you go. There you go.
And Records truly is my middle name.
It truly is. We're going to get an update right now. We head to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here at 720 WGN.